Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be with you again today. We had a great time with you, many of you, yesterday, and we're privileged to be here again this morning in your beautiful city. And a little bit about us quickly. We're from Vancouver, Canada. And
how many have been there? Anybody?
Yay. Someone lived there for a while. Yes. Well, so you're welcome to come back and visit. Today it's 21 degrees and spring is full of life. Well, it's going to hit 21 degrees, so which is unusually warm, but we'll take it. We'll take it. It's wonderful. But it's we have pastored a church in the Vancouver area for 38 years. We transitioned in the last few years, and it's going on strong. We're still very involved there, but it is our joy to come and be with you today. And John's going to be teaching you this morning, but we love sharing about relationships. God has done an amazing, miraculous work in our marriage, and so we're passionate about seeing relationships, families, and churches flourish. So our happiest place to be on a Sunday is in a church anywhere in the world. So being with you here today feels like pure joy. So thank you for welcoming us and for your gracious hospitality and love.
Great. Thanks. Am I on? Yes. Wow. Cool. So talking about relationships, do you know what you just experienced? Some people would call it this: you experience the presence of God, right? As we worship God, He promises to inhabit our worship with His presence. So when we come together, a lot of times people ask, you know, why do we do this thing called church? Well, Jesus actually said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But church isn't buildings. It's relationships, it's people, and He's building us together. And I really do believe that the greatest relationships on earth are built around His presence. They're built around Him. And if you were here yesterday, you heard us talk about relationships a lot. And we've been married in a couple of weeks, it'll be 50 years. And we have learned a few things about relationships. And I think the most important thing we've learned is actually what is a relationship. And it's not simply two people that see each other, sit beside each other, are close to each other. It's two people that God takes and makes them into one. That's what marriage is. And it's the greatest single relationship we'll have with people on earth. But He makes us one, not just physically, that happens, but He makes us one in our hearts. We actually get to be part of each other's hearts. And I said this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. Over the years, I can't remember how many times Helen has said to me, John, where are you? And I get upset. I'm here. Can't you see? I'm here. And her next thing is, no. I know physically you're there, but where are you? And if you go back to the beginning, remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What's the first thing they did? They hid. They were hiding. And God came looking, and Adam, where are you? Now, He's God. He knows where Adam is. Physically, He knew where Adam was, but Adam was hiding. Not on the outside, on the inside. And, for instance, Helen would say to me, John, where are you? And basically, she's talking about on the inside, where are you? But her next words would be, let me in. Let me in. You know, what do you mean? When you build a relationship, you let someone in to your heart. You let them in to how you're going, how you're dealing, how your life is. Relationships are a thing of the heart. But we just worshiped Jesus. And by the way, thank you, team, that Aaron and all of you. That was great. I love that song, Speak the Name of Jesus. I love the songs you did, Holy, Holy. And when we worship him, he promises to come into our presence. But it's all about a relationship. Christianity is not what you believe. It's a relationship with the one whom you believe in. Helen and I have a relationship because we are part of each other's heart. She lets me in. I let her in. How's your relationship with God? He wants in to your heart. Now, many of us have heard that. Many of us have heard that over the years. Give your heart to Jesus. But you know what happens when you get in his heart? Or, when he gets in your heart, you get in his. And that's what the presence of God is all about. You actually have entrance into the heart of God. And if you ever get into the heart of God, you're gonna discover one thing. Most important, he loves you. He loves you. When you enter into the heart of God, he's not mad at you. He's not trying to judge you, correct you. He just plain loves you. And in that place, your life is so filled that you can't help but overflow and love other people. That's why Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. How? By love. The way you love others. If you start with your love for God, it overflows and the world will see it in the way we love others. If you go right back to the very beginning in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Did you hear all of the... I put the emphasis on plural. We were created in the image of relationship. And we sang about it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. That's this perfect relationship. We were created in the image of relationship. And then if you go down a couple of verses to verse 28, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing. So, God created us in the image of relationship. And then he said, go ahead and build families. Go ahead, build relationships. Because the way you're going to actually carry out God's plan is through relationships. He said, let us build relationships. Let us build man in our image and let them have dominion. And then he described how. We'll have dominion when our relationships, when our marriages and our families, when we build this world with the love of God, we'll have dominion. To have dominion doesn't mean you got more power, more strength. It means you have influence. You change the world. I want to change the world. I don't know about you. Our world's pretty sick. Hello? Our world's pretty sick. What does it need? It needs Jesus. But it needs Jesus through us. In a way that we love others the way he loved us. So I'm going to just give you a few thoughts here on how to build loving relationships. Every one of us are called to build relationships, because that's how we're going to change the world. It won't change the world through all your smarts up here. change the world with what's down here. So I believe that building loving relationships starts with a dream. Now, I know lots of people have talked about dreams in crazy ways, but God actually gives us dreams. God puts dreams in our heart. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Your heart desires are called dreams. Walt Disney kind of coined the definition of dreams. He said, or the song says, it's in the movie, I think, Cinderella. The song says, a dream is a wish your heart makes. See, when you've got a healthy heart, your heart desires. And he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give us those desires. Actually, the first scripture you put up is the scripture I want to preach from, Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, the amplified version of it says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask, think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. God wants to go beyond our greatest dreams. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is we dream too small. When it comes to relationships, we dream way too small. I love telling people that we've been married 50 years and we love each other more today than we've ever loved each other before. Our life is bigger than it's ever been. We are actually living the dream. We're living the dream. And the reason I love telling people that is because I hope to give you a dream. You don't have to just survive. It's very funny when you go someplace and you say, we've been married for 50 years. You know what typically happens? Everybody claps. Ah! Why do they clap? Basically this, you've survived. You survived 50 years. That's not the goal. The goal isn't to survive, it's to thrive. It's to have a great life, to have life in that more abundantly. That's God's way. Relationships are his plan for our lives. And he wants you to dream big. And it's sad that so often in marriages or in relationships, friendships, families, we get disappointed and we don't know how to deal with it. Disappointment after disappointment, and finally we just get to the place where we give up and we lose hope. And basically from there on, we're going to survive. You know, I know a lot of marriages that aren't divorced, but they're not thriving. They're just surviving. Don't do that. God gave you a dream. A dream is not about surviving. There's no such thing as a dream that survives. You could have a vision of just making it by, but a dream is a wish your heart makes. It's something that you want. It's this desire of your heart. And I think a great relationship, a great marriage, great family starts with a dream. Our dreams can come either from God or from the people around us. You know, God will give you a dream. There's a lot of people have a dream to get married or a dream to find someone or a dream. Don't stop looking. Don't stop believing. Again, Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, which means thank you. God, you're amazing. You can do way beyond whatever I can imagine or think or even dream super abundantly. See, whatever you can, however high you can dream, God goes beyond. So I want to say again, I think the biggest mistake we make is we dream too small. Dream bigger. God wants us to have this that super abundant in every way. So you can get your dream from God, or you can get it from others. The thing is, you can't have what you can't see. A lot of people just think they're going to get lucky and have a great relationship. Nope. You actually need to see it, and then you can begin to build it into your life. The second thing is, if you're going to have a great loving relationship, that it's powered with purpose. A great loving relationship has purpose. Purpose is the muscle of life. A lot of times people say, I got a problem. What? I got a relationship problem. No, you got a purpose problem. I got a financial problem. No, you got a purpose problem. When you know your purpose, purpose is the muscle of life. You are as strong as your purpose or as weak as your purpose. And a lot of times we just don't have a purpose big enough. Like, for instance, if your purpose is to be comfortable, forget it. That's not the purpose of life. If your purpose is just you, it's not big enough. Your purpose needs to be generational. How you're living today makes a difference for a lot more than just you. You need to recognize God put in you generations. He is a God of generations. Abraham, Isaac. It's interesting that he says Abraham, and then he brings up, Isaac, but he brings up Jacob. Jacob was kind of not very successful at doing a lot of things. Jacob, the word, means deceiver. But you don't have to be perfect. God just wants you to be who you are and use you the way you are. But he is the God of generations. So purpose is so important in our life. And I think that my favorite verse in the Bible is Proverbs 13:22, which says God leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Okay, God wants to bless your children's children. You know who that is? Your grandchildren. So I don't know how good you are until I see your grandchildren. We need to live this life such that our kids get it, and they pass it on, and our grandchildren get it and pass it on. And that's how we change the world. I mentioned this yesterday, but life's a journey from who you are to who you're becoming. And that journey is for generations. They'll see how you're living today, and that's how they will live. Helen says this often. She says, I never realized when I was raising my children, I was actually raising my grandchildren. See, the way you raise your children will actually be the way they raise their grandchildren. And so God leaves an inheritance, gives us an inheritance to our children's children. So how are you doing? Are there challenges you're going through? Well, if you're alive, there is. Everybody that's on the planet goes through challenges, but God's given us the tools. And one of the most important ones is forgiveness. I got hurt. Join the human race. Everybody gets hurt. And if you haven't, just wait. You will. How do you deal with it? You learn to forgive. Your kids watching you are not really interested in how you never have a problem in your life. No, they're interested in how you deal with the problems you have. And they watch you. And if you want to have a great marriage, and you should want to, a great marriage is made up of two great forgivers. You got to get really good at forgiving. And why? Because we're all this work in progress. We need to live on purpose. We need to forgive on purpose. We need to speak on purpose. We need to do everything we do on purpose. One of the things we need to do is stay amazed on purpose. I talked about this yesterday, but The question often is asked, how do you stay in love for a lifetime? Because most of the world thinks that's impossible. You'll get bored with the same person. But the fact is, we were all created in the image of God. And if you keep looking for wow on the inside of everyone, you'll never get it all. You'll never stop. You'll never have it finished. And the more wow you see, the more amazed you get. Stay amazed on purpose. Don't just by accident. You know, a lot of things, I'm going to stay amazed as long as she amazes me. No, as long as he amazes me. No. You need to stay amazed on purpose. You need to go looking for what is so amazing. Number three, building loving relationships requires trust. Trust is the most misunderstood thing or part of relationships, especially with Christians. Why? Because most Christians think that you have to trust someone because you got to love them. And yes, you have to love. And yes, you have to forgive. But no, you don't have to trust. You need to trust. You cannot build without trust. Trust is like, for instance, let me try this. Yeah, it's pretty close. See what I'm doing? I am trusting this little table. I'm leaning. I'm putting all my weight on this little table. If it falls, I fall, right? Whose fault is it? Mine. My fault. Why? Because the table wasn't trustworthy. Trust only who's trustworthy. But see, trust is not a function of love. I love you, so I trust you. No. You can love somebody, but trusting somebody that's not trustworthy is not actually love. If you trust somebody that's not trustworthy, you're enabling them to continue to be not trustworthy. You need to trust who is trustworthy. And if there's people in your world that you love and they're not trustworthy, then tell them, I love you. I want to have a great relationship with you. I want to trust you, but I can't. That's up to you. You've got to earn it. Trust must be earned. It's not a function of love. If somebody has broken trust in your world, it hurts. It's like if you break a bone. Trust is the strongest part of a relationship, but it's breakable. And if you break a bone, you know it hurts. It hurts a lot. If you've trusted somebody and they've done something and hurt you, it hurts a lot. Question is, can it heal? Yeah. Bones heal. But not overnight. Takes a long time. And interesting enough, when a bone is broken and heals, takes a long time, but when it's healed, it's actually stronger than before it broke. So there's hope for every relationship. But you need to build trust. And trust takes time. And if you've hurt somebody, you've broken trust, you need to actually own the tears you've caused. Own it and decide to do the work to become trustworthy. Life's a journey, becoming more like Jesus. And trust is a huge part of that. You can't build without it. Number four, building loving relationships rests on grace. Aren't you glad that God loves us just the way we are? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for grace. Grace is he treats me, not the way I deserve, but he treats me with grace. He loves me, not because I deserve it. He just loves me. And grace in a relationship is like that. To give grace to somebody is actually to allow them to be themselves and make mistakes. Have you ever been in a relationship where you have to be perfect? Wow, that's a grind. None of us can do that. But when you're in a relationship where there's grace, then you're allowed to give it a go. Try. It's like I'm going to spread my wings and try flying. And what if you crash? So what? Grace allows you to get back up again and give it a go again. I really believe, you know, it's God's created us to fly. He's created us to dream big. He's created us to try big. But we get so afraid of falling, so afraid of making a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. A mistake doesn't stop you unless you don't get back up again. And you know who wins at every race? The one that gets back up one more time. I love it. I love grace. I don't know. Does that make sense? Grace is this ability to get back up again. Grace is this freedom to give it a try. Spread your wings. So what if you fall? Oh, please, in our homes, build your home with grace. So many families, kids are so afraid to try anything because they may not be perfect. And if they're not perfect, oh, mom and dad are going to come down on me. You know, we need to discipline our kids. But you don't need to punish them. There's a big difference. Punishment is about yesterday. Discipline is about tomorrow. They did something wrong, so talk to them about what they could do right, because tomorrow's going to be better. Punishment says you did something wrong, you're going to be punished for it. But when you do that, you set their eyes on yesterday. You set their eyes on what they did wrong. Discipline sets their eyes on what they could do right. Does that make sense? Grace is the way we build great relationships. We give people grace. They don't have to be perfect. Aren't you glad that you don't have to be perfect? Aren't you glad that God loves you just the way you are? Aren't you glad that when you walk into church, God doesn't write all your problems on the board? Tell everybody what's been wrong. No, he just loves you the way you are. And that gives us the ability to get back up and keep going. And the last one I want to say is building great relationships continues only with fun. You need to have fun, okay? Stop being so serious. Enjoy life. Life is to be enjoyed, not endured. Like I said, married for 50 years is not surviving. It's thriving. I mentioned this yesterday, but 41 years ago, actually, I started dating my daughters. And it's this amazing lesson I learned that changed my whole life, really. So every month I'd take each of my daughters. At that time, they were 8, 7, and 5. Take them on a date. And I just thought that was the coolest thing for years. And I was teaching it, and it was great. And then about 13, 14 years old, my daughters started to, I could see they were making excuses to not go on a date with me. Oh. I felt mortally wounded. What's wrong? I thought it was so perfect, so great, you know, daddy-daughter dates, and then they're making excuses. So I asked Helen, can you be a spy? Can you go talk to the girls and find out from me what's wrong? And she comes back and says, easy, you're boring. She says, they said it's like going on a date with the principal. They could tell exactly what I was going to say every single time. Oh, so that's when I learned this lesson. I decided from then on, the number one thing on a date was we're going to have fun. Because fun's the guarantee that it's not the last date. If you had the best date in the world and it's the last date, you failed. You could have the best church service ever, but if it's the last church service, you failed. The greatest goal is come back again. And I think the greatest guarantee to come back again is have fun. Life's to be enjoyed. I think Jesus was so much fun, really. One of the things I love about the things we hear about Jesus is the children loved him. Kids flocked to him. That doesn't happen if you're not fun. He had fun. And I think one of the biggest things we need to do in church is have fun, enjoy. And especially if you're going through tough times. Learn how to laugh. Laughter is miraculous. It really is in so many ways. I think laughter and having fun, it's like if you were talking about driving a car, okay? You put gas in the engine so that it'll empower the car and you can go forward. Good. That's all the purpose and everything else. But fun is the oil that keeps everything moving. You don't burn the oil. You just keep everything moving. And that's what fun does. Fun just allows our life to keep moving. If you're going to build healthy, strong, great relationships, start with Jesus. Let him in to your heart. But recognize when you let him in to your heart, you get into his. And that's when you find out, wow, he loves me just the way I am. And then we begin to take that love and build it. It starts with a dream above and beyond whatever thing I could imagine or think. It requires trust, grace, having fun, and purpose. And the purpose of life is to become more like Jesus. But it's going to take relationships. Relationships is God's way of changing us. Change is not fun, but it's so good once it's done. Can I pray for you? Again, let me just say thank you for the worship. I loved it. That we got to invite his presence. I would like to pray in it. And if you're here and maybe his presence is not in your heart, you're not in his. I know the Holy Spirit's knocking at the door. And God wants in. He wants to get into your heart. He wants to come into your life and be the Lord of your life. But recognize when you get into his, he gets into yours, you get into his heart. And everything changes. So could you just bow your heads with me and let me pray. Father, thank you for every person, every family, every relationship, every child, every mom, every dad. God, you created us like you, that we're never to be alone. We're to live our life with others. Jesus, you said you'd build your church, which is all about our relationships. Lord, I ask you to help right now build this church. Build us together. Father, I pray if there's anyone here that has not opened their heart to you, not invited Jesus to come into their heart, that today that would happen, right now, that would happen. If you're here and you've never done that, I want to invite you today. Now's the time. Right now. You don't need anything else. God's here. He loves you. He wants you to choose to give your heart to him. Maybe you're here and you say, I remember a day when my heart was so open to God, and He was doing things in my life and changing my life, and I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the line, I closed my heart. That relationship kind of dried up, and I need to get back to where I was with God. If that's you, simply, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord again. Take your rightful place. So if you're here and you'd say, that's me, I need Jesus in my heart, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray it yourself. Prayer is just talking to God. Let me just help you with the words you can say to Him. Close your eyes, open your heart, and just say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I believe in you. I believe that you loved me so much that you took my place and died on the cross for me. But I believe you rose again and you're alive forevermore. You're here by your Spirit, and I want to know you. So I open my heart and I invite you. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I believe I'm a Christian. Jesus, lead me and guide me. Thank you. Amen.